Welcome back to State of Affairs. I'm Robin Fisher, sitting in for Julie Credence. Today, we're talking about anger and anger management with two guests, Brayton Bowen, expert on workplace issues such as anger management and workplace violence, and Dr. Bernie Carducci, psychologist and author of Shyness, A Bold New Approach. How do you know when you need help controlling your anger? Have you had success with an anger management program? What works for you? It's time for you to join the conversation. Call 814-8255, that's 814-TALK, or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. And I'd like to go straight to the phones. Steve from Louisville is on the phone, and he's got a question about too many excuses. Steve? Steve, are you with us? Well, next we'll go to Danny. Danny from Louisville. Danny?
Hello?
Welcome to the program.
Yes, this is Danny. I want to make this as short as I can, okay?
Sure.
What it was in 99, my two girls went downtown. They got mad at me. They went downtown and told some lies, purely lies on me, had a warrant out on me. I got me arrested. I spent 24 hours in jail. I had multiple disabilities. And then the first time I went to court, I had a couple witnesses with me. But the judge would not listen to my witnesses. It was just my word against my girl's word. And she told me that normal circumstances, she put me on 3-year EPO and 3-year no weapons, no guns. I had a license to carry a concealed weapon. And and she said, but in this case here, I sensed something strange, so I'm just going to put you on 1 year. And I asked her, you know, well, why that? I am innocent, you know. And then she shut me up real quick. Anyway, make a long story short, I went on there. I completed the 25 angry meetings, you know, and every Tuesday when I went, I always would think about why, you know, why should I even be here? I was completely innocent. I didn't do nothing. But now I'm going to court. A few weeks ago, I went down to, and I found out I had shown my license, and they run my license, and found it had a warrant on me since 2000.
And Danny, did you attend anger management classes?
Yeah, I attended all of them, yes.
And did you find them to be helpful?
No, not really. I really didn't. There was a lot of interesting stories and stuff and everything, and the psychologist there, he was a smart individual and everything, but I did not belong in there, okay?
Here's the dynamic that we're talking about here. Part of what I sense in your call is a sense of a frustration, a sense of a lack of justice on your behalf. And these are the kinds of things that make people angry when they feel that they have been wrongly accused and not given a chance to defend themselves fairly. Your comment about this not working for you is partly because you don't feel that you really belong there, that you sense that you were forced to go there. So this sort of treatment of you is fostering this sense of anger and hostility that you still seem to have with regard to this particular incident. One of the things that I want to encourage you to do is to continue your effort to seek a help, because what you need to understand is that you're going to have to learn more adaptive strategies to dealing with your anger and your hostility. So going to these things 25 times shows that you have some sense of willingness and some sense of commitment. What you need to do now is take this to the next level and become even more constructive in your response. So I wish you much success, and keep us posted in terms of how it turns out for you, okay?
Okay, thank you, Bernie. If you have any questions for us today about anger management, give us a call at 814-8255. That's 814-TALK. Or toll-free 1-877-814-TALK. I'd like to talk a minute about anger management programs. What is involved in learning to manage your anger, both in the workplace and workplace-provided programs and on a personal level? Brayton?
I think it begins with a level of self-awareness, and one of the factors that we're finding as more and more important is the concept of emotional intelligence. It takes a certain amount of intellectual intelligence for us to get to where we are in life, but the true predictor of our success and how we deal with relationships and adversity in our life has to do with emotional intelligence. And that has five different competencies to it, and the first is self-awareness. Oftentimes when we are angry or we feel that we've been provoked, we have to recognize what is in the here and now that we are dealing with and what may be hooked by something that happened long ago in our past. So being a really good analyzer of what's going on within ourselves is very important. The second aspect is acting on our emotions in a constructive way. The third aspect is sort of self-motivating. Mm-hmm. It's not all us. There are other factors. How can we work through this? What are different strategies, Bernie said, in terms of how we can resolve situations? And then we need to get out of ourselves and look at the other party to say, where are they coming from? What are their issues? You know, it's conceivable that they do have a point. It's conceivable that they're dealing with stuff that we're not aware of, and we have to take that into consideration. And then the last aspect, the fifth aspect of the emotional intelligence, is the notion of dealing effectively with other people in our lives. And that whole concept of developing the skills and competencies of emotional intelligence, I think, is very important, and it's sort of the fundamental building block that I use in terms of helping people understand about self-regulation.
Thank you. Callers, do you find yourself raging for no reason, getting angry at your desk, in your car, at your computer, just out walking the dog? Give us a call at 814-8255 and talk to our experts. It's 814-8255, that's 814-TALK, or toll free 1-877-814-8255. Next, we go to Christine from Louisville, and she has a question on anger management. Christine?
Hi. My question is, I know someone very close to me who has a problem, it's very obvious, to everyone except to herself. So I'm wondering, how do you go about helping someone see the light?
In helping them deal with their anger management?
And they don't realize they have a problem.
Bernie?
One of the things that we try to do when we get people to deal with things like their anger is recognize what we call the fundamental attribution error. And the fundamental attribution error basically has to do with how we explain events in our own life. And what happens is that when we look at the cause of events, we are looking outward. So we tend to see the causes as being outside of us, so we tend to blame.
Exactly. And that's
a fundamental bias. On the other hand, when something happens to us, it's beyond our control. So one of the things that we try to do is to get people to understand that fundamental attribution error. And the example that you might use to demonstrate this is driving. When somebody cuts you off, you blame them. This person is rude. This person is a jerk. But when you do that, when we cut somebody off, what happens is, well, we were in a rush or we didn't see the individual, so we give ourselves excuses. That's a basis of the fundamental attribution error, that we tend to look for causes outside of ourselves for things that other people do, and we look for causes that are unstable or things that aren't our fault for things that we do. It's simply how we look at the world. And as Brighton said earlier, we need to get out of our sense of self and make an attempt to look at the world from the other person's point of view. So give them that example, and then have them start to think about how these things occur in their daily life. How often do they make external attributions for their own behavior as excuses and internal attributions for other people are treating them unfairly?
Okay, thank you.
Brighton?
Just another perspective in terms of our caller. The other party has to want to receive help, and if I as a participant in that exchange am not being affected by what I'll call the offender,
mm-hmm.
If I'm not being offended but I'm just simply an observer, that has a whole different set of connotations. If on the other hand the offending party is adversely impacting me and I am being offended or affected by their behavior, then there are things that can and should be done to confront the behavior in a very constructive way so that I'm taking care of myself. But when we sort of cross that boundary with the idea of taking care of somebody else, that's a very complicated area that can just basically blow up in our face.
Thank you, Brayton. I'd like to go back to the phones and talk with Chuck from Louisville. And Chuck has a question about genetics and anger.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering how you can tell if it's a genetic disposition. My father is a very angry person. He's taking Paxil. Also, his mother has Alzheimer's, if there's any correlation with that at all. And I've become self-aware about my own anger. I drive a lot doing my job, and if I had a voice-activated recorder, you'd probably get an hour's day of me discussing and yelling about, you know, drivers on the road. And how can I tell if it's more of a social situations or it's genetic?
If I may, please.
Sure.
One of the things that you have to realize is that literally any emotion has this biological component. When we look at the physiological reaction in terms of when people are angry and when they are in love or sexually aroused, those two things are almost identical. There's muscle tension, for example. There's increased respiration. There's increased heart rate. All of these sorts of things. So what's different there is the way that you interpret that. So the reactivity that you're talking about, that's a biological disposition. And what's critical, though, is how you interpret that biological disposition, how you interpret that level of arousal. And one of the things that we have been saying here is that what you need to do is you need to recognize that. Now, you mentioned that I think you said your father is taking Paxil. One of the really interesting things about Paxil is used for a variety of psychological conditions, because what Paxil is, it's a mood modulator. It takes the edge off the emotion, so it's like it turns the volume down. What you have to be able to recognize, if you're somebody who is highly aroused, easily aroused, then you have to anticipate ahead of time what your response is going to be. And so the idea is that you can then begin to develop a behavior program, a cognitive response to something that you anticipate is going to happen, particularly if you are in the situation on a very regular basis. So if you know that you're a long-distance truck driver, there are lots of people going to be cutting you off or slowing down, then you have to plan ahead of time, okay, if this is the kind of stuff that makes me really, really agitated, then what am I going to do when this happens? You can think about and prepare a response ahead of time.
If I were to, like myself, have myself put on Paxil to help myself in dealing with my anger problems, is that a good course to go through? Should I talk with a professional first?
A couple things. One is you should always see a professional. The other thing is when you start taking medication to deal with the problem, what you're eliminating is you're eliminating yourself from the equation, because now the Paxil gets the credit for any kind of success instead of something that you do. So what's happening with Paxil, or medication in general, is people are turning to these drugs for easy, quick solutions rather than taking the time to learn to deal with these things themselves. So see a professional first, but also begin to think about some other strategies that you can develop.
Okay, thank you, Chuck, for your call. That's all the time we have for today's program. My thanks to our callers and to our guests, Dr. Bernie Carducci, Director of the Shyness Institute and Professor of Psychology at Indiana University Southeast, and Brayton Bowen, noted writer and speaker and leader of the Howland Group. He specializes in workplace issues such as anger management, workplace violence, and conflict resolution. Thanks for being here. For more information about this topic and our program, go to WFPL.org and click on State of Affairs. You can email us from there, or you can write to us at State of Affairs, 619 South 4th Street, Louisville, Kentucky, 40202. State of Affairs is produced by the Public Radio Partnership with support from the University of Louisville. Heidi Caravan is the producer, Brian Kahn directed today's show, and John White was on the phones. I'm Robin Fisher. I hope you'll join us next time for another edition of State of Affairs.